I'm Kevin Carson. I have the privilege of serving Christ as pastor of Sunrise Baptist in Ozark, Missouri, as well as I get to be the department chair of biblical counseling and serve Christ that way at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. And in the summers, I get to hang out here with the masters in biblical counseling. It's a great program for those of you who are considering maybe further education. The MABC here has their second graduation class this summer, just a great program. And you've been doing your theology work. We are switching gears this morning, and we're going to start the counseling exam. So counseling never takes place outside of our theology, but at least we're not going to be talking specifically this hour about your theology. I think Steve will be in later today and others to keep working through theology. This morning, we're going to deal with questions 1, 2, 8, 13, 14, and 25, and then tomorrow, we'll deal with another six questions first thing in the morning as well. So because we have so much to cover, let's get started. Your notes are different than everybody else's in terms of my notes are different than the rest of the guys. When I asked them what to send in, they told me, and I did it, and so I did follow directions, but it was So you get to write or type. You get one of those two options. You can pick the key points and glean that as we go through it. Question one, what are the goals of counseling? There are several key issues that you want to think about when you think about what the goals of a counseling, any counseling situation is. First, all biblical counseling is God-oriented. So whatever is happening in the counselee's life is in some way related to his or her relationship to God. We know God has a purpose in all events, and in his graciousness, he orchestrates everything in life, the pressures, the joys, the difficulties, all of those get wrapped together in one life with God's one purpose. So when we think about counseling, we have to think about life in terms of the purpose of those events. And the purpose is the basic goal of honoring and glorifying God. A lot of times we talk about pleasing God. The goal, of course, for all of our counselees is to become more like Christ in all their circumstances. Several passages to think about that I've got listed for you. 2 Corinthians 5:9, of course, says, Paul's talking in that context, and he says, whether in heaven or on earth, regardless of where I'm at, my goal is to please him. So in location doesn't matter. When Paul's talking in 2 Corinthians, the hope he has is to honor God in everything that he does. As well as in the 1 Corinthians 10:31, you're familiar, probably many of you have memorized it, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Similar to Romans 8, says God works all things for our good. And then you get to verse 29. It says, for whom he foreknew, those he predestinated to become conformed to the image of his son. So when you look at the big picture, counseling, the goal of counseling can't be different than the goal for the individuals with whom we counsel. Those goals need to be consistent with each other. So if God's goal for your counselee in any particular circumstance is to become like Christ, then as the counselor, and we go into that circumstance, our goal has to help this counselee become like Christ. So that becomes a major component. In addition, this means helping the person learn how to respond to unpleasant circumstances in a God-honoring way. Most of the time, the reason people are in counseling, especially in formal counseling, is because something's going on in life that's not pleasant. And as with lots of us, sometimes our focus can be so much on the unpleasantness of a circumstance, we forget to focus on pleasing God in that circumstance. So we want to redirect their attention, help them to respond in a way that's going to, again, honor God. Let me give you just a quick word of encouragement. At the bottom of your notes, in the middle, it has my email address, kcarson@gobbc.edu. I would certainly not want you to wear yourself out trying to write all the notes. And I'm not going to be slow enough to let you get every word. So if you will shoot me an email, I will sit down later today. I've already got it in a, I've got the PowerPoint in a PDF. I'll be happy to send that to you so that you have all the PowerPoint. Yeah, if you'll just shoot me an email, I will be happy to send that to you. I'll just reply back with an attachment. So maybe I'll put it on a Google Drive and just let it and share it with you so you can grab it that way. But one way or the other, I will make it where you can get to it. So just catch the big idea. We'll talk through it, and then I'll give you all the other notes. Secondary purpose is to help restore people, the sinning believer, back to a place of usefulness. Galatians 6, I think when you talk about the purpose of counseling, you can't think of counseling outside of Galatians 6. The idea that brothers who are overtaken in a fault have some kind of sin, they're struggling, we that are spiritual or those that are walking in Christ comes beside that individual and helps restore them. And you recall the word restore just basically means to mend or to bring back to a place of usefulness. So an individual in the body of Christ is struggling. They have a sin concern or a sin problem. They're having a hard time having victory in that problem. And so we come beside them and we help, verse 2, shoulder that burden, walk down the path with them, do shoulder-to-shoulder ministry. That is part of the goal of counseling, is to get them back to a place of usefulness. Now, if you're going to do Galatians 6, of course, you want to pay special attention. The key words in verse 1 would be the fact that we want to be humble in the process. We want to be gentle, use self-control in counseling. All of that would flow out of this greater sense of trying to help someone or restore them back to this place of usefulness. There are some cautions that you need to pay attention to, and in each section I'm going to give you some cautions. Basically, these are, as I interact with ninth graders, and as we talk about this particular test, and as I read the instructions given to us by NAINC, these are key things we're looking for and places where people trip up a lot as they write the answers. So I'm going to give you cautions under each question. Just make sure you mention this stuff or at least have something related to it so that you don't have to rewrite your questions. There are some goals that must be rejected. So you're going to say, this is what we're shooting for, the glory of God. We shoot for restoring a brother or sister in Christ. But there are some things we don't want. One is our goal in counseling isn't to change their circumstance. So when someone comes to counseling, a lot of times their goal is to change the circumstance or to change, as we get to next, change a spouse. Right? So if we put this in the context of a marriage, which is great to drop some examples in your test, when you talk about it from that standpoint, someone comes to counseling, they want their marriage fixed. They're not necessarily interested at the beginning in becoming like Christ themselves. So there's our goal drives what we're doing. Will their marriage be helped? We certainly hope so, and we pray that that's going to take place. But even if their marriage blows up on them, even if you, in the process of helping, something else takes place and the marriage ends up either separation or divorce, that particular counselee can still honor God. They still can become like Jesus. So it's not, we don't want to make our goal changing circumstances, helping a spouse, nor do we want to deal with everything that comes up in counseling. You could counsel for years. If you every time you heard a new issue, you jumped on it and made that your goal for the day, or you made that your particular concern of the day. So you want to just make sure that you at least drop a paragraph in that says, although this is what we're doing, we're concerned about their circumstances, we're concerned about helping relationships, we're concerned about what they bring to every counseling situation, our greater concern is glory to God and restoring someone back to usefulness. Remember, not every counseling situation is the same. Remember in 1 Thess 5:14, it says there, Paul's exhorting us to warn the unruly, to comfort the feeble-minded, to uphold the weak. The idea of those three terms, the unruly would be someone who knows what to do, but for some odd reason they're choosing not to do it. The feeble-minded person would be someone who knows what to do, but in any particular circumstances, they're struggling doing it, whereas the weak person is someone who seemingly has no ability to do what God wants them to do. So in counseling, those individuals come to us, and we've got to be discerning to know.